Did you know that the first CD pressed in the United States was Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA? We've got all sorts of interesting facts and more coming up. We got lots of info, let's rock and roll, it's Did You Know with Rhino. Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Rhino. I'm Rhino, this is my show, and I know exactly what you're thinking. But that's okay, we'll be racing in the street a bit later. I was also born to run. Anyways, in today's episode, we're going to have lots of fun and you might even learn something. So without further ado, let's do it. In this show, we talk about all sorts of crazy stuff and randomness, but we don't do it alone. So today, we'll be graced with a special guest. She's an actor, DJ, MC, all-around fun person. Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah McMillan. So how are things going, Sarah? You having lots of fun lately?
Things are going very, very well. Yeah, I'm a little tired right now, but other than that, I just drank a whole smoothie, so I am satisfied. How are you doing?
I'm adjusting as well. Are you tired because of daylight savings time?
Always. It's the devil. Like, it's the worst. Like, here's the thing. I lived in Arizona for a good portion of my life. And they don't do time change over there. So it would just, when everybody else time changed, we would just get an hour away from California, an hour closer to the East Coast. So it was glorious. But now, yeah, no, it's like being punched in the face and being like, it's fine, you know?
Because your body is like, hey, it must be like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then your rest of you is like, no, it feels like 6 o'clock in the evening. What are you talking about?
Oh, completely. And it's like when well, not so much this one, it feels like it's daylight, but like it's still light. Like it feels like it's light forever. And you're just like, the night will never come. Eventually it will. But yeah, no, it gets me every time, every year.
I was talking to someone at like 7-Eleven. They're like, oh, man, I can't believe that I lost that hour. And I said, it's okay. You'll get it back. And then they stared at me for about a minute and a half. And they're like, oh, yeah, I guess I will.
Yeah. In, you know, a couple months, we'll be fine.
Everything will work itself out. There's not going to be an extra hour somewhere that we're losing. It'll be okay. But for now, we just have to adjust to the sun and adjust to all sorts of epic craziness. Speaking of epic craziness, what would you say is the craziest thing you've seen in the past 30 days?
Oh, what do you mean? Like that I've seen, like firsthand witnessed or like that I've read?
I would say firsthand witness. For example, I was driving down, I was driving home today, and to my left-hand side, because this is a perfect Central Florida story, to my left-hand side was a woman that was probably only wearing a brassiere in a pickup truck. She was like 50, maybe?
Yeah.
And then to my right-hand side was this 20-something-year-old with a mouth full of gold in a Mustang.
Oh, no.
And I was following a moped in front of me.
Oh my goodness.
So that's the craziest thing I've seen this month.
Yeah, that's pretty weird. Oh, that's a good question. So, let's see. It wasn't like super weird, but a couple of weeks ago, not even like last week, I think, there's that giant downpour of rain that was just like colossal. Well, usually if that happens, I'll go sit out on my porch or something. And then I was out there and I could see kids walking home from school, like in the afternoon. And there were these teenagers, I would say maybe like middle school, almost like young high school. And this guy had taken off his shoes. I don't know why. He was probably already soaked and was like tiptoeing around these puddles, holding his shoes like up with his backpack on. And I was just like, I don't understand Central Florida. Like, you're already soaked. You might as well just embrace it and just like you know, walk like a normal person. But no, he was like tiptoeing, like with his knees bent. He looked like Jack Skellington a little bit. It was just kind of like, what is he doing? And so that's probably the weirdest thing that I firsthand like witnessed. I chuckled about it for a good solid 10 minutes because obviously I was by myself. It's not like you can like laugh at it, but you know.
Well, you could laugh at it.
It's true.
There's always that option of being like, hey, you're weird.
About like just put your feet on the ground, you know. It was such a, because he's probably from the front. I live towards the back of my complex, so if he'd walked from where the bus dropped him off at the front, why with the tiptoeing? It was funny
because it's not like the tiptoeing is going to help him stay dry unless the his heels were what he was worried about getting wet.
But he already had his shoes off. Like, he had taken off. He was holding his sneakers, like, by his face. And I was just like, what is happening right now?
That's silly and absolutely ridiculous. I don't get it.
Weird. A little weird.
There are certain things that I don't get and certain people I don't understand either, which is my awkward segment. Or awkward segue into our next and first segment of the show, known as Ryan O. and the Mailbox of Doom. So this is where I normally open up, you know, the emails and whatnot to figure out what people are thinking. And also, hopefully, I don't get chased by a giant boulder coming at me. So my question coming towards you is, have you gotten any weird spam phone calls lately?
Spam phone calls?
Yeah. Do they ever call you and then just like leave you like weird messages?
Not really weird messages. I usually pick up my phone anytime it rings. I'm that person. It's probably not safe, but I usually do it anyways. I had this, someone called my phone. It wasn't a misplaced call. Like, it was supposed to come to me, I think. And it was something about like a Toyota or something. And like, my family owns a Toyota, but that's like back on the other side of the country. So I was like, well, why are you calling? Like, how did you even get my number? You know? And he's like, oh, something about something needs to be checked or something. And I'm just like, I don't think I can help you. But so the Toyota people call me every so often. It's kind of weird. I do get like life insurance calls. Those ones are pretty regular for me.
So they're trying to sell you life insurance? Do they think you need it?
Well, I already have health insurance, but I don't have like life insurance. But they're always like, oh, and if I do say, oh, no, thanks, I'm not interested. No, let me just tell you. And you're just like, but I really am not interested, you know? So, yeah, no, it's usually health insurance and stuff about a Toyota.
Yikes. That sounds like those sound fun compared to the call I got this week where they were threatening to they were threatening to send me to jail if I did not have my employer send me or get. I always get these weird ones. Like, usually it's about leg braces or about Amazon trying to get me to work for them. It's a fake website. But this one was they were going to send the police to my house if I did not comply with a legal restriction or situation. And then they were going to notify my employer as well. But they didn't give any information, didn't even mention my name. It's just one of those basic, bland nonsensicals.
Yeah, go figure. I don't know. That's a little weird. But nobody, like, nothing happened. Nobody, like, showed up or anything, like...
They never do. It's in. Sometimes I get like the same 7 messages in a row from the same people, and they never do anything because they just want you to give them information so they can utilize it and then steal money from you in the future.
That is very accurate. I totally feel that.
And I want to keep my money.
I did have someone call me about a diet not too long ago. That was probably like last month maybe, but they were like, you need to go on the keto diet. Here's the 5 easy steps. I'm like, I really don't want to do that.
You need to go on the keto. No. No, they don't know you.
Obviously. I am quite small, so I wasn't really sure what was going on there.
That's nuts. Speaking of nuts, the next part of the show is where we're going to talk about the origin of certain words. So my question to you is, where and when do you think the phrase cool beans came from?
Well, whenever someone says cool beans, that's the first thing I think of is hot rod. See, when they're like, cool beans, cool beans, cool beans. That's the first thing that comes to mind. So, but I know it was probably before that. So I'm going to say I do not know where cool beans comes from, but hot rod.
Okay.
I don't even know it came out. I don't know. Yeah, probably something along, I don't know. Do you know?
It was popularized before that with the Cheech and Chong. That was kind of their main phrase back in the 70s.
Ah, gotcha.
But even before that, beans, there was a toy like called the Jumping Beans that was very popular back in the 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
And so by the 1960s, beans were everywhere, and it became part of a common phrase or word that people were using. And then cut to people trying to create different phrases and different words, because it was the 60s. Everything was far out and happening, and they wanted to create more slang because they were tired of the squares that their parents were. And so cool beans was just one of those. Because cool was like everything cool was great. And then beans was something they were familiar with. So it'd be like today saying cool selfie, or saying like cool burrito or something.
Now I could catch on with that. That's a cool burrito.
Which is different than a neato burrito, which is just because it rhymes. So that is cool beans in a nutshell.
There you go. We'll take it. Now I know these things. The more you know, I feel like I can go home and go to sleep now.
Well, that's what this podcast is all about. It's about teaching people things while getting to know people at the same time. So that leads us to a question about like how weird Florida is. Because every time you read the news, you get people talking about like the Florida man, and this is weird, this is crazy, and they're doing all sorts of nuts and insane things. So this upcoming segment, we talk about things that are so weird and so crazy that they could only happen in Central Florida. So I'm just going to tell you the a newspaper article. I found a newspaper article, and here's the top tagline. It says, couple blow themselves up transporting propane tank. So with that, what are your immediate thoughts?
There's so many questions. Like, what could they possibly, did they think it was empty? You know, what, where were they taking it? Why would they move? Like, was it like a relocation? Like, oh, this is in an inconvenient place, you know? Or like, how did they try and throw it on the back of a truck, or did they like try to pick it up? I don't know. There's just so many questions.
Apparently, this Orlando couple, they were transporting a propane barbecue in their Kia when the woman lit a cigarette.
Yeah, I was wondering if cigarettes were involved.
So immediately the car became a big rolling ball of fire, but no one was seriously injured. So there's that.
Okay.
That's a thing.
Wow. That's lucky. That could have been it.
It reminds me of one of the opening scenes in Zoolander where all the models are playing with the gas pumps.
Yes.
And then like three of them end up blowing themselves up, and Derek has to relive that for the rest of his life.
Oh yeah. Yep. Man, you don't get a good Zoolander reference every day.
Well, no, because that's because Blue Steel is now out of date.
Yeah, that's fair.
I blame M'Baku.
True.
Or is that the guy from Black Panther? I always get, is it M'Batu? Mobatu? Will Ferrell. We're just going to go with Will Ferrell's character.
Ferrell, yes. Yeah, no, M'Baku is the villain. in, or is he the villain? I need to watch Black Panther again.
So and, do I.
And Zoolander, you know, movie night. We'll make it happen.
You could do a double feature, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Como si, como sa.
Seriously, just keep the snacks coming. You'll be fine.
It'll be epic. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll nearly die. It'll be a great time.
It'll be a fantastic. That's the tagline right there. All our friends will join us. It'll be a good time.
You'll laugh and cry and nearly die, and then you might even learn something along the way.
There you go.
Which leads us towards one of our final segments here, our science fact of the episode. So this one, the human body apparently carries, well, I'm going to ask you, how much more bacterial cells than human cells do you think the human body carries?
That is a great question. Well, I wouldn't say it's too many more, because if it were, that would be a serious problem. That is a good question. I don't even know how many cells are in the human body. I don't know. Tell me, Ryan, how many bacterial cells you got there?
10 times.
There's 10 times the bacteria cells as opposed to the human cells, or vice versa?
There's 10 times bacteria versus human cells. Not all bacteria is bad bacteria.
Oh, okay. That's still a lot of bacteria.
Yeah, but so each one of them has a unique way that helps us harness energy, nutrients from our food. So like even like rodents that are germ free, they have to consume nearly a third more calories than normal rodents because of the different diseases that they're trying to fight. But the bacteria that's already there, it's kind of like an autoimmune thing. So like the negatives help create more positives because they're already there.
I see how it works.
And so that's all about, you can't erase all of the toxic people in your life, but you can at least acknowledge them for being there.
There you go. Like life in the human body, all truth. That is a true statement.
And with that, we're going to go for another true statement with a word from our sponsor. Did you know with Rhino? This episode has been brought to you by Everyday Cosplay Finds. Ever wanted to show off your favorite character or group of characters, but don't see things online that match your style? Then check out Everyday Cosplay Finds, bringing cosplay into your everyday. Go to Etsy.com/shop/EverydayCosplayFinds for more information. And now back to our show. Did you know with Rhino? Earlier in this episode, you talked about Arizona. Were you born in Arizona, or?
I went to college in Arizona. I was there for 3 years.
Which college?
GCU, Grand Canyon University.
Grand Canyon University. What did you study when you were at this canyon of grandness?
Well, that was actually my second college. I was studying theater arts there because my first college was AMDA, and so I was studying American music and drama.
So it's been about drama and acting and whatnot for how long? Has it always been your goal? Oh,
that's a good question. I started community theater, which was my first like organized theater, in 2009 or 2010. So back when I was in high school, but before that, I had always been memorizing scripts and stuff, or not scripts specifically, poems. I used to memorize poems and do them as speeches and that sort of thing. But yeah, no, that's about it. I also, I got tested on Bible memory a lot. I grew up very conservative, so I memorized Bible verses and would recite them. And so that was kind of how I started memorizing things and putting a character to it just made it easier.
And so did you do anything like that before high school? Like any And like was drama club a thing in high school or?
Like I said, I did community theater in high school, so it was pretty. It was organized, but it wasn't professional. But it was still good. Like we had a pretty decent community theater where I lived. But yeah, other than that, not really. I would make speeches, like memorize things, and go to speech meets and that sort of thing. But I never really acted or did any sort of theaterness before that.
So during your theaterness, as we're now calling it from here on out, what was your favorite role that you did?
Ooh, that's tough. Oh my goodness. All right. There was a couple. In high school, my first like breakout role that I did that was like not townsperson number four or whatever, you know, I got to play the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland. And that was super duper fun. I was probably 15 or 16 at the time. And I got to wear pink and purple and I had ears and a nose. It was a lot of fun. And I got to, you know, just kind of saunter around and cause chaos. And it was fun. So that was probably my favorite in high school. But when I got to college, when I was in New York for a bit, we did Antigone, which is a Greek tragedy. And it's very, very sad, obviously. But she is one of like the most ahead of her time women in the world at that time, you know, in ancient Greece. So yeah, no, I got to do Antigone and that was really, really fun. A lot of memorizing. I wish almost that I could go back and do it again now because I have so much more understanding of life and actually of like losing things. So I feel like I'd be able to do it more justice because at the time I was still really young, but.
So then what would you bring now to the role of the Cheshire Cat that you with this new knowledge that you have?
Oh my goodness. I would love to play the Cheshire Cat again. I think it was a very physical role. It was a lot of just how you would sit and how you would walk and you know, that sort of thing. So I feel like I could bring even more to that. And obviously the sass, I would bring more sass. I was already pretty sassy, but you know, it was so fun. It was crazy. So yeah, no, I would love to do that again. It'd be you know, bigger. And obviously, you know, I'm an adulty adult now, so it's kind of, it would be a little different, but yeah. No.
There's now more gravitas and weight into the sass as opposed to just a youngster who's like, I'm just angsty now.
Yeah. I was very, very smiley Cheshire Cat. I mean, obviously I still would be, but it, you know, it'd be different. It'd be fun. Man, I'd love to do that show again. Let's put that show on again.
Okay. As long as I can be the Mad Hatter.
All you, Ryan. That's all you.
It'll be fun. I can be like, I can do this with my old Edwin, like, there's 364 very happy unbirthday to celebrate every year.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That is the one thing that I was sad about is the Cheshire Cat is not in the tea party scene at all. So I was sitting backstage that whole time listening to them having so much fun. I wasn't on stage for that, but everything else, I was pretty much always in the background or, you know, hiding under something or on top of something. And it was fun.
Well, with the Cheshire Cat being like nearly invisible, we could arrange it so that you are in the scene, just like in the background, just making weird faces at us, but we can't see you because you're nearly invisible.
I mean, that would happen backstage regardless, so, you know.
But we would do it on stage, like, and somehow you would end up in the audience just with, like, giant cat eyes.
Oh, yeah. Let's make it happen. Oh, it'd be so fun.
I'm in. So now I just got to rent out a theater and make it so.
Yeah, just cast the rest of the show. It'll be fine. We'll make it happen.
So is there... When you were rehearsing and memorizing and stuff, was there any specific, like in college, was there any specific music you would listen to get into a particular mood or anything that you would watch to try to feel more, to get into that mood? Or how would you understand your character's essence?
Well, it was a long process. One of the first things we learned was research is key. So you would, you know, first you'd read through the script and read everything that was written about the character and figure out all of that like who this character was as like their relationships, everyone else, you know, that sort of thing. And then you would try and find their driving force in all of that. So you'd look for what are they trying to accomplish, you know, in the grand scheme of things, what is their goal? And then through that, you'd find smaller goals, and then you would start to pick out their personality and, you know, what they would, what's important and what's not. And after that, then you would research the time period or, you know, the, if there isn't a time period, if it's some sort of like set in something that's not reality, you know, you would explore the senses, what they can see, what they can smell, what they can hear, you know, what that sort of thing. And you would just, you would create this world that they lived in. And if you were creating this world, then it's actually kind of funny as an actor, as a human being, you pull little bits of yourself that you know, like their scenarios, you know, if your character is thinking of like hurting themselves entirely or ending their life, you know, obviously as a human being, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't, you know, put yourself in that mindset, but you can think of something that would make you that sad or that happy or, you know, whatever their case is, you pull from your personal experience and it makes it real. So it's just this combination of research and character development and just finding what was written. And yeah, it's like detective work and human dissecting what they would do, you know, psychology. There we go. That's
so a psychological detective.
Yes. Oh, so much so. And then after that, then it's actually trying, not necessarily having you feel it, but making the audience feel something. So it's that you're giving them the right to judge you. And it's crazy. And I love theater for that reason.
So nowadays with when you're out being a DJ in public, have you developed a sort of Sarah persona, or are you just showing them all just you at all times?
That is actually a really good question. I've thought about that quite a bit. Depending on the party that I'm throwing and that sort of thing, it's kind of a, it is me as a person, you know, but some of the things that you like, I don't want to say some of the things that you point out and some of the things that you say are not normal things that I would say, but it is, you're creating a way for them to relate to you, like the people, the guests, the everyone who's there watching. You're creating a way for them to be relating to you, and you're making yourself approachable. So, you know, every day I wouldn't just randomly go up to someone and be that relatable, that approachable. You know, I don't know how to explain that. You know, it's like,
oh sure, because we all have our, as I like to call it, quote unquote, on stage personas, and then our off stage. So, back when I was Elvis, yes, there was a 10-year window when I was a professional Elvis impersonator.
I did not know that.
Oh yes. So I used to travel around. I did private parties, special events, nursing homes. I even performed at state fair grounds and county fairs, did a couple different organizations. I was Elvis for a decade. It was a good time. So when I was out and about in front of people, I was like, okay, this is me actually being Elvis. So he was my onstage persona. But that's because I was forced to like truly inhabit and show off like the knowledge and just like his charisma and just be him. But if I was being myself, just going to a gig, like doing a karaoke thing or playing guitar and singing in front of a crowd or whatnot, I would want to be me, but I wouldn't talk about Batman like I'd want to talk about Batman, but I wouldn't necessarily do it like all the time. So I would have to switch things up a bit and talk about what they wanted to, instead of saying like, hey, did you guys catch that episode of The Flash? Wasn't it sweet? It said it's all right. Are we having a good time? Have you tried the pizza?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's definitely, it's making it not about yourself as much as it is about the experience in the moment. And, you know, it's an onstage persona and a backstage persona, you know?
My backstage persona really likes pizza.
You know, I feel that. Honestly, my onstage persona isn't that different, but my backstage persona will eat all the pizza like a crazy person. The onstage persona, obviously, has to keep dancing.
That's a thing. Yeah, you can't stop dancing until the music stops, and the music don't stop until the party stops, and there ain't no party like a pizza party. That's a thing. We're going to go with it. I like pizza parties.
I'm here for it.
So when you're trying to get in the mood, not in a romantic way, but trying to get in the mood of being that onstage persona, when you're going to a gig, is there any specific music that you listen to in order to get you there?
Oh my goodness. Well, it's going to sound so stupid. I am a hardcore pop music fan. Especially if I'm trying to like pump myself up, I'll throw on some Nicki Minaj or Katy Perry or, you know, something that has a really hard beat to it, that it's just like, okay, and now I'm awake and now I'm ready to party. You know, it's that whole sort of thinking. But yeah, that's usually what'll really make me ready. Or yeah, anything like that. Sometimes I get tired of like my usual like pop stuff, and I do like, I'm really big into Spotify. I love Spotify. I'll do their whole, you know, this is what we picked for you for the day or whatever, you know, and I'll listen to that. And, you know, it's usually just covers of relatively good songs. So then I'll usually listen to the cover, and then I'll go back and I'll listen to the original, and it's a whole to do. I usually try to keep with upbeat music though, because if I do a whole bunch of like ballads, or, you know, if I do some smooth jazz or something, even country music, I'll get kind of like, all right, now I'm not really ready to party. You know, it'll take you right out of the mood. So I always try and keep very upbeat. Otherwise, I'll get sleepy.
You don't want to fall asleep before the party starts.
Exactly. Like, as ridiculous as it sounds, I don't drink a whole lot of coffee or have a whole lot of caffeine or anything, because when you're dancing around, you know, you can't really have that much, and it'll give you a huge caffeine dump. So the only way to stay energized is by, you know, keep staying focused and keeping your mind just right there. And good music on the way to work helps you do that.
And it's also the endorphins of moving, because what's the Legally Blonde quote? Exercise creates endorphins. Endorphins make you happy.
And happy people don't kill their husbands.
That's right.
Pretty much.
So then that's what keeps you going through. It's that endorphin rush once you've already started. It's not that you need 6 pounds of chocolate to keep moving. It's that once you go, it's like you're just running downhill and just let it go until it stops.
Yep. And I got to say that, not even the car ride home, but once I am home, sitting in the parking lot in my car, that's when I'm like, okay, I can't move anymore. I end up sitting in my car for like half an hour after working, because I'm just like, I'm sleepy. I'm not moving. I'm going to take a nap here.
Taking a nap in your car. I've wanted to do that many times before work, but I know that if I do it before work, trying to walk into it makes it like 10 times harder.
Oh yeah.
So just imagining it like right afterwards, it's that couch crash. Like, you've had a hard day's work, and all of a sudden you go home and you're like, okay, I'm done.
Yep.
What am I watching next?
Oh yeah. No, I always say, as soon as you get your shoes off, that's it. It's like, I'm not standing up again. My shoes are off. We're done.
Well, don't you have like specially colored shoes for DJing too? Like,
wait, well, they, we don't have like a requirement of what we're supposed to wear, but I like to get very, very colorful shoes because it makes you stand out. You know, all the, at, you know, any other entertainer would have this very colorful costume to make them stand out. So I like to fit in with that, you know.
When I was Elvising, I used to have, well, I had different shoes depending on what outfit I was wearing. I was moving some stuff around in the closet, and I believe I have more shoes than my wife does.
I love it.
Because they're all of different purposes. But with Elvis, like, I would have my white dress shoes, which were very flashy, and they had eagles on the bottom. No one saw them, but I did. I knew they were there. And so I wore those underneath my white jumpsuit. If I wasn't going to wear, I had white go-go boots at the time as well. and then if I wasn't wearing those, I had the same pair of white eagle shoes. I had them in black too.
Yeah.
Now they were very Italian and on sale, and they were like a women's size 13.
Yeah. Oh, that's fabulous.
They were extremely fabulous, and they worked very well. So if I was wearing tight leather, I could still rock those shoes, or I was wearing boots, combat boots, depending on how much dancing I was going to do or how much standing I was going to do.
That is so funny. And hey, the biggest thing about being an entertainer and having to provide your own costumes is tax write-off. So woohoo!
That's right. You can, well, back then I wasn't even paying taxes. I was like 14.
Oh, that's fantastic. You were so young. Oh my goodness, that's funny.
So when I was really young, doing, because I first discovered when I was doing, I was doing voices just to be funny and hanging out with friends and doing Dr. Evil because the 90s were all about Austin Powers and whatnot. So when I was a young kid, it's like, I was like, oh yeah, Groovy Baby. And like, because I could reach a somewhat of a facsimile of it and know, like you said earlier, memorizing the words, like really getting there. But then as I got older, so Elvis, back then was just, you ain't nothing but a hound dog crying all the time. And then all of a sudden around 14, it was, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. I really got into it.
That's so fabulous. I love it. I love it.
It's because the voice like really, really got there as opposed to, you know, puberty happens and then you're not drawing on chest hair underneath your low collar. It's actually there. And it was a good time.
That's so funny. Next time I see you, I'm expecting to see some Elvis dance moves. I hope you know that.
I'll do it. It's fun. And that's always a fun thing when you're recognized for one thing, but you're no longer getting paid for it. People are like, oh, come on, do Elvis. And I'm like, do I? And I'm like, it'll make them happy. Come on. So it makes me wonder, people like Mike Myers or people who have been out there and are doing different characters and stuff like Zachary Quinto, who's been Spock for a while now. Like people are like, come on, say the thing. And he's like, live long and prosper. And they're like, yeah. Or like Mike Myers are like, groovy baby. And they're like, okay, cool. Like yay. And so it's for that one thing. And I'm like, it makes them happy. Awesome. I'll do this rock and roll. And then it's like, well, I really miss it. Some days too. So there's the other factors. Like, okay, if I could still get paid to do Elvis, would I continue to do the Elvis? And it's maybe, I think so. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, yeah. It's a thing.
I love it. It's hilarious. It's very true.
So segueing out of my Elvis-ness, my rock attitude, so after your gigs, when you're home and you're in out of your car, what do you listen to? What sort of music do you listen to wind down? Or do you just flip the switch and just turn on the television?
It depends on the day. If I'm making like dinner or something, which I'm very, very bad at. Usually I'll stop and pick up food on the way home. But usually when I'm home, if I listen to any sort of music, it'll probably be something very, you know, low key. Then I'll pull out the slow songs and the ballads. Sometimes I'll throw on some musical theater, you know, just something that's very, you know, not like insanely hyper, you know. Or I'll just turn on the TV and I'll watch, you know, like I watch a ton of reality TV. I'll listen to like podcasts, you know, that's how I kind of found yours. Or, you know, I'll listen to books, like audiobooks, and, you know, just stuff that's just kind of like not really, you know, craziness. It's very, very chill.
What sort of reality TV have you been watching lately?
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see.
I know nothing about what's been going on lately because I don't have cable anymore.
Well, see, that's the thing is that I don't have cable either, so I didn't really watch a whole lot of TV like in the past couple of years. But I just got a Roku not too long ago. So then I got access to Hulu and Amazon and Netflix and all this. Well, I had Netflix, but you know. So on Hulu, they have like every episode of America's Top Model ever, which ended in like 2012. But I started all the way at the beginning of that and I watched through to like a couple, like 10 seasons of that, which sounds terrible, but this was over a couple months. You know, it wasn't like all at once. So I was ready with my America's Next Top Model. And then I am embarrassed to say I got sucked into The Bachelor. Again, I've only watched like the last two seasons of it. I got sucked in college and then I kind of just, it stuck. And so was watching that. I picked up Survivor again after I used to watch that like when it was on Thursday nights when I was like little, like in grade school, middle school. So watched some Survivor episodes, you know, just really, again, it's not really modern reality TV. I mean, The Bachelor is, but it's very, it's all the stuff that's on, you know, Hulu.
So when you finally finish something, because we all have that want and desire to like talk about how much we enjoyed something. When you finish a show that's been off the air for, I don't know, it's 6 or 7 years, do you already have friends that have already watched it too? And you're kind of like, hey, have you guys seen this? Or is it like you're talking to new friends about it? Or how do you talk about something that you finished but really enjoyed?
That is a good question. Let's be real. I'll call and I'll talk to my mom about anything. I'll tell her, you know, because they live again in California. I'm real close with my mom, so I'll call her and be like, you won't believe what I just watched. And she's like, what? And it's like, it was America's Next Top Model that ended in 2003, but you won't believe what happened. And so then I'll tell her about it. And, you know, she's my mom, so she loves listening to pretty much everything. So I'll talk to her. Sometimes I'll call and invite over friends to watch it or, you know, just be like, hey, I'm watching this episode of this. You want to watch it either with me or, you know, watch it soon and we'll catch up and, you know, that sort of thing. So I'll tend to rope people into it. Of course,
It almost sounds like a book club or something, but for reality TV shows.
Oh my goodness, yes, completely. And I'll do that with anything. Like if I'm watching like a movie or something, like Disney Channel movies, my old roommate always call her and be like, hey, I'm watching this right now. You want to watch it? Or, you know, like, hey, I haven't seen this before. Have you seen this one? And, you know, we'll talk about it. And so we'll do that. Unfortunately, my boyfriend, he gets roped into a lot of my shenanigans. We sat down and we watched like 4 episodes of Survivor that was off the air in like 2016. But it was entertaining. We were entertained, but it's just kind of like, it's been off the air for a while now. But then we were still like freaking out because we'd never seen it. And, you know, great shows, you know. The reason it lasted so long.
Earlier in this podcast, like 10 episodes ago, maybe, my wife Rachel and I, we were talking about Vampire Diaries because I had never seen it.
Oh, okay.
But she had watched a bit of it, and then I was watching more of it, and then I got into it. So then finally we binged watched it together. So I get towards the very end, and I'm like, ugh. This character, and she's like, yeah. And then finally I'm like, who else do I know? It's like, oh, it's off the air. Who? So I go to work and whatnot. I'm like, anybody? And they're like, oh, yeah, I remember. I was like, this character. And they're like, yeah, that character.
Oh, yeah, no. My roommate now, I finished watching Rain is R-E-I-G-N. Not too long ago. I watched it. It was like, it's like this, you know, I want to say like 1400s, 1500s time period, you know, medieval times. And, you know, it's all the drama that goes on there. And my roommate had watched it years ago. And so when I was watching it, I'd go out in the living room. I'd just be like, you won't believe what just happened. And she's like, girl, I know. And even though it had been years for her, but she'd still let me run out and rant and then run back in my room and finish another episode. You know, good time.
But you also want to have that conversation with them where they're supportive, but they're not going to be extra spoily, because I hate it when people spoil things for me.
Yeah. Ooh. Or even if they do one of those, like, oh, where are you? Oh, just wait. It's like, oh no, I don't want to wait.
Yeah. Like you can't wait until like season four. That's when stuff happens. I'm like, oh, but I'm on season two.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yeah. No. And even like the new Netflix shows that come out, like, I know I binge watched You not too long ago. You know, I don't know if you know anything about that, the guy that's the stalker or whatever.
Penn Bagley, that show?
Yeah. Oh, it was freaky. And so I binge watched that. There was only like 5 or 6 episodes. Well, it might have been more than that. I don't know. But I watched them all one right after the other, and I was completely creeped out. But all of my friends, I was like a week late from when it had showed up. So they'd already seen it. So I just went on Facebook. I'm like, all right, y'all, who wants to talk about You? And then everybody there. It was great. That was a good time.
Nice. I love binge watching and catching up, and because then you feel like you've learned something about these shows, and then also like it's nice to complete them too, because you get towards the very end and you're like, that was fun, and then let's talk about it for a bit, and you're like, okay, let's open up the next one. What's next?
Oh yeah, no, completely.
Well, speaking of next, this is a part of the show where I'm going to ask you a couple of very random questions about yourself. All right? It's going to be weird.
That's fine.
All right. So if you were a pizza topping, what topping would you be?
Ooh, just one? Like, I'm not even a combination?
Well, you as an individual may have personality of many things, but you're only one topping.
Oh, that's hard. Okay. There's no way for me to answer. Okay, no, I got it. I'm here for it. Nope, I'm not. Okay, hold on. I am mushroom.
Okay.
I'm a mushroom because I am a little weird. Not everybody likes mushrooms, but they have a unique flavor. And once you get them and you like them, then you keep ordering them again. Boom, I'm a mushroom.
Nice. In that same vein, I would be meatballs.
Ah.
Because you wouldn't necessarily expect it on a pizza, but once it's there, you're like, yeah, that works, and you want to try it in other things as well.
There we go. That's me, and I'm a vegetable. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Are mushrooms vegetables? What are mushrooms?
Fungus.
They're fungus. They're fungi, and I'm a fungi. There we go.
Well, nice. Well, that's excellent and awesome. I could see you as a fun thing. Speaking of fun, if your life was a genre of a movie, what movie genre would it be?
Oh my goodness. Oh no. Hold on. It'll hit. I'm not, is it movie genre or can it be TV genre?
Either. It's our podcast right now. You and me, we can change the rules.
I am the definition of a sitcom.
With three cameras or one camera?
Three. And you just sit there and all this craziness is happening to you within like a half an hour, and it seems ridiculous and plotless, but then it all works. But I end up in these situations where I can just guarantee there's a studio audience laughing at me because that's how ridiculous some of the situations I get in are too. So that I'm a sitcom. I'm wholeheartedly a sitcom.
Nice. I think I would be a horror comedy.
Oh no.
Kind of like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer or like Happy Death Day. So like things are weird and, but really funny at the same time. So you get like Buffy, who's like just stabbed a werewolf and then made six puns after that.
Yes. Oh yeah. There you go. That's you.
It was a hair raising event.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That's how you take a bite out of that one.
Oh my goodness. Here we go.
Yeah. I could go on for several different things. So then our question of the episode, I always have one big question at the end of every episode. What song would you say is always in your head? Like for me, sometimes it's Africa by Toto. Like that song's like do 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 do.
Yeah. That is a great question. Hold on a second. I think that I would probably say, well, the minute you said what song, the song Starships popped into my head.
Okay.
Nicki Minaj.
Oh, sure.
I don't really know why, but that one just, that's me. And that is the song that is, if somebody's like, hey, what song do you think would be good? I don't know. It's just, I feel like it's, or, yeah, that one is always, that was the first one that popped into my head. But now that I'm thinking about it, the one that's always in my head is like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, that's because you're not sure if this is the real life or if it's just fantasy.
Exactly. It's the song for every occasion. You can always have Bohemian Rhapsody. Like, it's every occasion.
You can always see a little silhouette of a man. Scalamouche, scalamouche. Can you do the fandango?
Exactly. It's appropriate for everything.
I could quote the entire song, but then I might have to pay someone royalties for that.
You know, I feel that, but yeah, no, it's kind of weird because not those two songs don't have anything really in common, but those are the first two songs that always come to my mind.
Very cool. Excellent. Yeah. Love it. So for everyone else out there, if you want to tell us about what your favorite song or the song that's always in your head is, let us know. You can do so on Twitter at Did You Know Ryan O? You could do so on the Facebook page, Did You Know With Ryan O? You could always email us, Did You Know Ryan O? @gmail.com. There's many options in order to get a hold of the episode. We've got all sorts of opportunities for you to be a part of it as well. Sarah, while you're out there in the awesomeness of the world, where can people find you?
They can find me just about anywhere. I am on Instagram. I am at Chillin' with McChillin, and that's literally all one word. On Facebook, I'm Sarah McMillan. You can find me, follow me, like me, add me as a friend, send me a message. I'll probably ignore it. No, I'm just kidding. I'll figure it out. And yeah, that's, I don't know, Pinterest. You can send me pins of whatever you like. I don't know.
Nice.
That's the way to find me.
Very cool. So, well, thank you very much for joining us on this fun ride today.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
It's been my absolute pleasure. And that's going to bring us towards the end of this episode. So for those of you out there, find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I've been Ryan O. We'll see you next time. Did you know it, Ryan O? Did you know it?